Hi, this is Dale Southlake Pharmacy, Coley's Corner Drugs, Pharmacy Facts with Friends, and we wanted to welcome you tonight to our first show of December, second show of December, I guess, because last week was the first. But we have Rita Coley in the studio with us, and I'm Lauren Young, and we have a new guest with us on tonight's show. We have Dr. Christopher Collazo, and he is a new practitioner in town. Welcome to the show, Doctor. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me today.
Great. So how long have you been in the Decatur area?
So my fiance and I moved to Mount Zion about the end of July. And so we've been living here full time since the end of July, basically.
Well, welcome to the area.
Welcome to nothing to do right now. That's a little bit hard to get acclimated to a new area, isn't it, when you can't go out much and do much.
It's actually, it's not that difficult. I actually really like the feel of the area because it kind of reminds me of where I grew up in Texas. But so far, so good. I mean, you make do with what you got right now.
Well, you are going to love it when the amphitheater opens up and you can really enjoy the lake and some of the really fun things to do here. It's a great place.
We are really looking forward to it.
So why don't you give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself? Where did you grow up? I know you mentioned living in Texas, and where did you go to school and get all of your training?
Sure. So I grew up in a town just outside of San Antonio called Seguin, Texas. That's where I went to school and graduated from high school. After high school, I played baseball in college and ended up getting my bachelor's degree from Texas A&M International University in Laredo, Texas, and then decided that I wanted to go into the medical field, and I went and got my doctorate in Des Moines, Iowa, at the Des Moines University. And then following graduating with my medical degree, my doctorate, my DPM, residency at Sanford Medical Center in Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, gosh. All over,
so
then.
So I've kind of been all over the place.
You have.
And then following residency, I did a advanced fellowship in Chicagoland with the Weill Fund Ankle Orthopedic Institute.
Wow. Impressive. Good for you. That's a great experience.
It's been a journey, to say the least.
So now our community can find you on the St. Mary's campus. You're located at the lower level of the 1770 building, right at the corner of the HSHS campus. And one thing that I noticed when I was reviewing your background was that not only can people come to you for, sometimes people think of needing to go to a foot and ankle specialist for a trauma that they were in, or sometimes in the pharmacy world, it can be related to either a diabetic complication, whether that be neuropathy or even an amputation. And but I noticed that you have kind of a wide variety of specialties or different areas that you can kind of help with. And one thing, whenever you mentioned that you played college basketball, and I know there's a lot of sports medicine or sports injuries that occur usually in the high school and college level. And so how do you think your training, being a college athlete, kind of prepared you to work with athletic trainers and athletes?
Well, I think starting in residency, my residency program actually had a really good relationship with local high schools and local colleges. So I did my residency in Fargo, North Dakota, and if you know anything about college football from a FCS standard, North Dakota State University is like the crown jewel of the FCS series, and have won 5 or 6 national championships over the last 7 years.
Wow.
And so we got exposure to athletes from North Dakota State University as well as Morehead State University and I believe it was Concordia University. So we got exposure to a lot of sports medicine initially in residency, where I learned how to do a lot, take care of a lot of ankle sprains, helping athletes with any particular fracture that they may have suffered, such as Lisfranc injuries, which are very common sports injuries, turf toes. And following residency, I built on, built upon that with fellowship, because I learned a lot of pretty minimally invasive techniques to treat athletes, as well as some other advanced things that I was briefly exposed to, but got more exposure in fellowships, such as arthroscopic lateral ankle stabilizations, meaning you use just two poke holes to get into the ankle joint and you can clean it up and then fix the ankle ligaments through those two small poke holes, and minimally invasive repairs of Achilles tendon ruptures that some athletes may suffer. So I was given a very good exposure and a good base in residency, and just continue to build upon that in fellowship.
That's awesome. That's a great experience. We do have a strong tie with athletic trainers here in this area, so I think that'll be wonderful to just add you to that list of things that, you know, tools that you have in the shed. That's great.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I know that often, I'm a young parent, if you don't know this already, doctor, but I have children that are 4 and 6. And so I know that whenever my children were first learning to walk and, you know, starting to wear hard shoes, that was kind of an issue for some of the moms in my circle, because you want to make sure your child is walking correctly and making sure they're not having any issues whenever they're walking. You know, you want to make sure there's no deformities or ailments that they're going through, or any pain that they're experiencing that can kind of keep them from hitting that milestone. What have you seen in your practice so far that you could give some tips to some newer parents on what to look for some pediatric foot problems?
I think the biggest thing to stress to parents about pediatric foot problems and ankle problems is basically to compare their child to their child's friends and their peers. And if the child's able to keep up with their friends when they're playing, if there's not any issues and they're not complaining of pain, you just kind of have to let them continue to play, grow, and see how they develop. If there's obviously a noticeable deficit, you see something that is definitely wrong, then get them looked at. But sometimes parents worry about this, you know, if their child's foot is flat or if they have a higher arch, and the foot and the position that their feet are in as they develop changes, and so some people get a little worked up about that. But I think the biggest thing is just to see how they are doing amongst their peers. If you notice that they can't keep up, then I think that is the time to actually have them to start being evaluated by a provider or a medical specialist.
And do most of your patients come to you directly, or do they need to be referred to you from their primary care?
So we get a mix. We get a mix of referrals and patients that find us online or through various resources that we have throughout the internet. But you can be seen at the Foot and Ankle Center of Illinois without a referral. As long as you call our office, we have availability 5 days a week, and we can get you in typically within 24 hours.
That's wonderful. And so during COVID, have you seen an increase in kind of these, I don't want to say weekend warriors, but people who really might not have been out either riding their bikes or walking on trails or being outdoors more because other activities are restricted right now? So I know a couple of people who have started, you know, taking up running, but they're having ankle issues, and, you know, they're really trying to make sure that they stay active and stay as healthy as possible. But, you know, they didn't have this issue a year ago because they weren't running like they were. Are you seeing anything like that?
Yes, ma'am, we are. We're seeing a lot of people for the exact same reasons that you mentioned, that they're trying to find ways to stay active. And for a lot of people, it's just finding something to do and get out of the monotony that our life has kind of become with all the quarantining and everything. And what a lot of people are actually doing is they're kind of trying to go full bore initially, and they're not working their way up to a point, so they're starting to suffer some overuse injuries. And a lot of it is just, you know, kind of us taking the steps to kind of have them put the brakes on and, you know, get everything healthy again, and then they can start to work their way up versus just going at it as fast and as hard as possible as they can. A weird thing that we've seen, too, is people are complaining about a lot of foot pain, and they're really not doing a lot of exercising, but you find out that a lot of people are going without shoes at home a lot more than they used to, because a lot of people are working from home.
Yeah.
And they're complaining of foot pain because they're just not wearing shoes. And so when you lack support and you're walking on a hard surface such as tile or wood or a linoleum, you don't have that support, so you're putting extra stress on your feet. And so we have to kind of remind people that just because you're not you're working from home doesn't mean that you don't necessarily need to be in a good supportive shoe or some kind of house shoe that helps to protect your feet when you're walking around the house.
Absolutely. A good supportive house shoe. That sounds like a great Christmas list item that our listeners can add for one of their loved ones. So we kind of mentioned the COVID-19 things that you're seeing. I know that obviously in the pharmacy world, men and women are very different patients. What are some of the women's foot care or women's ankle care things that you are seeing in your practice?
So a lot of things that we see in our practice and I see in my practice is a lot of women wanting to have their bunions evaluated, the bump at the big toe joint, and their big toe starts to drift over, and they're curious about that and starts to affect them wearing the kind of shoes that they want. They have to start getting wider shoes, and so some of the nicer and more fashionable shoes start to kind of fall by the wayside because they're just not comfortable in them. Some of the issues, too, that we see is women that like to wear higher arched heels and things of that nature that may not be the best for their feet because it's just not supporting their foot the way that it used to, and they just lack that support, and so they start to complain of pain. And so a lot of the things that we see typically are issues with shoe gear and trying to find something that either supports their foot and is still fashionable, or if they don't want really anything fashionable, it's finding them just a good shoe. But we take care of a variety of conditions that women and men alike deal with. A lot of women also are, when they have issues with their toenails, want to see if there's some kind of solution to help if they've developed some type of nail fungus, and trying to get that getting rid of that and improving the overall appearance of their nails is definitely something that we see very commonly in the female population as well.
Absolutely. And now with more people wearing boots, with it being the winter season, I'm sure that is an environment where fungus thrives.
Exactly. That's exactly where it happens. Fungus like warm, wet environments, and your foot in a closed shoe with a sock on is the perfect breeding ground.
Absolutely.
That's usually pretty hard to get rid of. You have a good remedy for that?
We do. We have several products that are over the counter that we utilize in patients. And we have found really good success with that. And then we also have several treatment options in terms of customizing a treatment plan for the individual that we found a very high success rate in terms of getting rid of the fungus. But it is a difficult problem to treat, but we have had success in getting rid of it.
That's encouraging. That's great. Glad to get the word out. It's good.
And, Doctor, so I know we talked about the changes that COVID has brought to your practice, but you know, we always on this show bring up the fact that HSHS and Memorial Hospital in town both are very safe, and a lot of the practitioners are welcoming new patients and wanting to get people to resume taking care of themselves and going to their regular doctor's appointments and making sure they're actually checking in with their different providers. Now, I know that the ankle and foot clinic is a little bit different than a respiratory clinic. So people might think that there's not as many COVID issues, but with the impact on elective surgeries that I'm sure that you've seen in the hospital, you know, someone who has a broken ankle or a broken foot who can't walk really doesn't view their surgery as elective. But because of the COVID precautions, I know sometimes they have to get moved or changed around and things like that. So how can a patient who is needing surgery but nervous about COVID, what can you tell them?
I could tell them that at the Foot and Ankle Center of Illinois, we're doing everything in our power to make sure that all the patients are safe. Every patient gets a COVID pre-screening before they're even seen. And we want to make sure everybody is safe. In regards to being treated, as long as they are not having any issues or any symptoms similar to COVID, and they have completed the COVID pre-screening, we happily will see any and all patients for any and all problems, whether it's a trauma problem or anything that they may deem that may be a little bit more trivial. Maybe it's an ingrown toenail, or maybe they have a callus on the bottom of their foot that's bothering them. We see everybody, and we make sure it's safe for every single patient. I think it's imperative for individuals that have had some sort of trauma or are dealing with an infection or any kind of wound be seen by a provider as soon as possible and not delay any care, because it can have lasting impacts on them as you get further down on the road. In regards to concerns about if there is a need for surgery, with the help of St. Mary's, every patient is given a COVID test 3 days before surgery. If it's not an emergency, deemed an emergency or a urgent surgery where somebody is in the hospital that could lead to an emergency, then everybody from an elective or outpatient basis is given a COVID test and are asked to quarantine for 3 days to be safe. And in that time, we are able to get their results back and determine if they're COVID negative or COVID positive. If they're COVID negative, the surgery goes through as planned. If they're COVID positive, then unfortunately we have to have them go through the precautions and the quarantine setup like they would if they were showing symptoms or had any respiratory type issues with the 2 weeks and beyond. But we're able to do any elective cases as long as the patients are COVID negative.
Excellent. I love the different precautions that both the hospitals have really put in place to remind our patients that, yes, they are safe, even though, yes, it is a scary time right now. There's a lot of resources going into these precautions, and it is time to take care of yourself and make sure that you're keeping up with those appointments.
Exactly. And just because we're not near the nose or the mouth or anywhere near the lungs, we do want to make sure that all of our patients are safe and have the proper precautions in place.
Absolutely. So I know that normally, like we mentioned, it's easy to think of a foot and ankle clinic whenever there's something, you know, drastically wrong. But for a patient who is experiencing, you know, some issues, are they able to get rehab at the foot and ankle clinic? Do you help coordinate with a physical or occupational therapist? What's the journey for a patient?
So we do not have physical therapists or occupational therapists specifically within our organization, but we have relationships with multiple practices in the area in terms of getting them for any type of physical therapy or occupational therapy that they need. We also have relationships with, for obvious reasons, St. Mary's in terms mm-hmm. of our medical offices being here, but we have relationships with their physical therapists, and we have built a good referral basis within the community to get patients to a therapy clinic that is close enough to them and one that we feel will provide them the best care.
Wonderful. And I know that when I was playing sports in high school, it was always a little nerve-wracking whenever you did roll your ankle or you did have a foot injury, because you were afraid to go to the doctor because then you knew that you might have to sit out and you might have to let your team down. Mm-hmm. But I love that, I mean, Doctor, you sound like a provider that really wants to be on the same team as not only the athlete but also the athletic director and the family to make sure that you're going through the proper precautions and making sure everybody's safe and ready to get them back out to play.
Exactly. We use a lot of techniques and a lot of medical literature to support our treatment plans moving forward. And as a former athlete myself, I want to get the athletes back on the field as soon as possible. And I don't want to keep them immobilized or not using their muscles, because we don't want them to have a significant rehab period when they do start going back to sports, because that can put them at risk for developing other injuries due to weakness and other problems. So the goal is always to get the athlete on the field or the court or running again as fast as possible. And at the Foot and Ankle Center of Illinois, we also have laser therapy that we utilize to help reduce swelling and enhance healing in terms of sports injuries that we've seen good results in are athletes as well as non-athletes and surgical patients. Mm-hmm. And so we are always trying to stay on top of things in terms of getting athletes back in their sport and as quickly as possible.
Wonderful. And I know that, you know, it can be a little intimidating for either an athlete or a family to walk into the clinic and kind of not know what the plan is, but especially right now with sports not being, you know, contact, you're probably seeing a lot more of the strength and conditioning type injuries.
Yes, a lot of overuse injuries. Once again, it's just individuals trying to push themselves and get better at their sport, and they sometimes just suffer an overuse injury because they're maybe working out too much because that's all the activity that they have. Mm-hmm. And we try to manage each patient on a situation-to-situation basis, mm-hmm. and find the best solutions for them, but also keeping them active, because when sports do resume, we don't want there to be anything that's holding them back so they can get going, especially the juniors and seniors in high school, because we know that it's an important time for them, especially with all the college scouts and things going in that nature, if they want to continue to participate in sports in college.
So do you recommend the athlete getting an ankle brace if they seem to be rolling their ankle a lot during practice? Do you recommend them working with the athletic trainer to get it taped? What's the best start for that ailment?
I feel that for each athlete, it's an individual-to-individual basis. If someone has an issue that they continue to sprain their ankles multiple times, then it makes sense to be placed in an ankle brace. If they've only sprained it once and they're doing fine, mm-hmm. then you just continue to monitor it. But the problem is, as individuals continue to suffer multiple sprains and things of that nature, there may be something actually structurally wrong with their foot or ankle that is leading them to this problem, and it would likely need to be assessed to determine why they're continuing to sprain their ankles. And some people say, well, I have weak ankles. That's usually not the situation. It's usually the way that the foot and ankle is designed that leads them to developing these problems. And it may just be the nature of the sport, too, because once you injure your ankle, the ligaments heal, but they don't heal as strong as they originally were. So the goal is to try to get you to keep the ligament as strong as possible, and the more injuries that you have to it, then over time it becomes weaker and other parts of your foot or a muscle start to take up more stress, and that can lead to other problems.
One of the most painful injuries that are kind of a chronic condition is plantar fasciitis. Is there anything new that's being done for that?
There's a lot of things that are out there for plantar fasciitis. One of the things that we have been utilizing that is relatively new in terms of treatment is regenerative medicine. So we have techniques that allow us to use this regenerative medicine to not only help the patient improve their plantar fasciitis, but do it in a safe way that is not really damaging to the area from a sense of like steroid injections and things mm-hmm. like that. If you have multiple steroid injections over time, it can cause some breakdown in the skin. And with regenerative treatments, we're able to help a patient not only get better, but do it in a more safer and smarter way.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Why don't you let our listeners know one more time how the best way they can contact you if they have any questions?
So the best way to get a hold of us at the Foot and Ankle Center of Illinois is you can call us at 217-787-2700, or you can get on our website at myfootandanklecenter.com, where you can also make an appointment online. And like I said earlier, typically we can get you in within 24 hours. You don't need a referral, and most insurance plans are accepted, and they're on our website to help you out for any questions with insurance. And we are located at 1770 East Lakeshore Drive on the lower level in the Suite 1. You can find us basically. There's a blue awning right outside of right outside of the doors, and right when you go through the doors, we're right on the left, and we're within the medical offices at St. Mary's campus.
Dr. Collazo, thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a treat. Welcome to the community, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate you having us.
Absolutely.
Having me, sorry.
Anytime. You're welcome anytime. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with more Pharmacy Facts with Friends in just a few minutes.